السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, on behalf of the Islamic Society of Orange County, I would like to welcome Access California. And you know they're here because there's red t-shirts everywhere. So when you see a lot of red, you know Access is here. Alhamdulillah. So Access is a really good organization, mashallah. I had the pleasure of helping them out a few years ago, and they do a lot of great work. And this workshop that we're having is an example of that great work that they do. So I encourage everybody to support them, and they're a big part of our organization. And I want to give the mic to Sister Nahla Kayali, a legend in the community and the founder of Access California.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We're very honored as Access California Services to be here, to be a hand for the community, the Muslim community, to be able to help and uplift in any way we can. First, I would like to thank the Orange County Society, Islamic Society of Orange County, to giving us the opportunity to be here to work with them, and without them we cannot provide the education services as we are providing today. And without Dr. Siddiqui's support to Access California, we could not be here. Thank you, Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui, for being a great supporter for Access California services. Today, we are providing an educational session because we do see the community is in need of a lot of services. What Access California, please raise your hand if you know about Access California services. Great, great. Thank you for being here. So what Access is, we're a nonprofit organization, we're a charity organization, providing a lot of services to the community for employment services, case management, educational, ESL classes, a lot of case management, immigration services. We have mental health department, which we offer a lot of great services. You will be meeting the staff. And I would like to thank the staff, volunteers, for making tonight a successful night. So thank you, staff and volunteers, for being here. I would like to tell you about Access California. I started in 1998. In 2004, a young man came to me to tell me about the mental health. Although the mental health is always in my mind to provide services to the community, and that young man was Sheikh Yasser Fazaga. He was still young. Actually, we opened the door together. He founded this department at Access California Services. And that goes to his vision of providing mental health to the community. We were the only organization providing mental health and counseling services to our community. So thank you, Sheikh Yasser. But today we would like to announce that yesterday he became licensed in the state of California. And we were very, very happy that he became licensed. He's a legend in our community. He does provide a lot of sessions, a lot of information about the mental health. He's very knowledgeable. We work with the county a lot, and when he worked with us for 12 years. When he was with us, the county social service and mental health department and social service health care agency used to ask for him to be a speaker for them. He trained over 6,000 employees in their department through Access California Services. So thank you, Sheikh Yasser. Without your support, we cannot be here. And now I would like to introduce Sarah Al-Sabbagh. She is the manager for the department, and she will tell you about what we offer in the mental health department. Thank you for being here, and please, please, the masjid is asking us to announce there's no food or drinks in this area. Please make sure no food or drinks. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Mashallah, we have such a great turnout, and I'm so excited to be here and so excited to be part of Access California and being able to do a lot of things for our community. I wanted to just speak a little bit about the services we do. I am a clinical social worker, so we provide mental health counseling. The counseling goes from individual psychotherapy, family sessions, marriage counselings. We also work with children. So any children who are from 0 to 5, we do assessments. And within the community and in the schools, we're able to support them school-based and also referring them out. We actually are really excited because we just collaborated with the Anaheim High School District to provide services for students within our community in school, in their school-based. So sometimes it's difficult for parents who work and aren't able to bring their children to counseling, so we're able to extend counseling services out to the schools. And inshallah, we're hoping to get more districts and even go out to elementary schools also. And we also do case management. So along with counseling, we help families who might be struggling with mental health challenges, but they also might be homeless. So we try to find them shelters, assisted livings, and helping them with anything they need with food and shelter, clothing. So we do a comprehensive case management alongside with counseling. And also, we provide a lot of educational trainings. So we go out to the masajid and we do parenting classes where we parent our the mothers and fathers on what is age-appropriate parenting for prevention services to make sure that our children are staying in our homes and make sure that it also helps with their mental health and so they can grow up to be healthy young adults succeeding in our community. We also like to do workshops like today. And we also distributed for everyone who pre-registered and registered when they were here. We handed out surveys. So if you can please fill those out and return them on your way to the registration table, it helps us see the feedback and also what services we can continue providing to our community so we can bring prominent speakers like Sheikh Yasser to come out and do these wonderful talks for us. So that's a little bit about what we do. And without any further ado... Oh, most important program. We also have a senior program. It's called our IZOA program. This program helps to prevent and challenge the isolation that are happening with our older adults. So we do a lot of case management. We do Nadia Abdullah, who's an amazing case manager. She's over here. She's a wonderful case manager. We are actually starting to do group counseling or group therapy where we have all of our seniors, we sit together and we talk about challenges and we talk about things that we look forward to in the future. We also talk, she also does yoga at our Access location, and they do yoga. The instructor is actually a Syrian refugee who actually learned yoga when he was abroad, and he's coming back to contribute to our community. So we're trying to increase more services and provide and give back to our community. And so going back to when we do the surveys, we're actually able to know what our community needs, so we're able to go out there and provide that. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce, and you all know him, Sheikh Yasser. The licensed marriage and family therapist.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I begin by greeting my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhum. And it is good to be back at home and this place inshallah will always be home. In the Arabic poetry they say نقل فؤادك حيث شئت من الهوى فما الحب إلا للحبيب الأول وكم من منزل يألفه الفتى وحنينه أبدا لأول منزلي. So wherever you, I'm not going to attempt to translate this, but the point is, you know, the purest of the best of love is always the first love, and this place is and will always be the first love. And as always, always, wallahi, wallahi, sincerely, I tell you, it's such a pleasure being in the presence of Dr. Siddiqui, who I refer to as my absolute very first teacher. You know, you come in here, there was no masjid, there was the only Garden Grove masjid. It was a very little tiny place way out there in that corner. And, you know, our beloved teacher has been Dr. Siddiqui. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him good health and long life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, ya Rabbil Alameen. So whenever I speak about mental health, it seems like we have to make a case for mental health prior to discussing mental health, especially in our Muslim community, because the tendency is religious communities, Jews, Christians, and Muslims definitely, we tend to shy away from this on the basis that if you are religious, if you are practicing, if you truly believe, you should not have any mental health related issues. And my brothers and sisters, if you leave tonight and don't learn anything, I want you to remember this. Please do not repeat this. This is a myth, it is lie, it is not scientific, and absolutely and definitely it is not Islamic. So inshallah for 7 minutes, I would like to make a Quranic case for mental health. Let me give you an example. If you ask the average Muslim, what does paradise look like? No, may we all be in paradise, ya Rabbil Alameen. What does Jannah look like? Just imagine Jannah. And people will say, no, don't imagine Jannah. According to the Quran, tell me, what does Jannah look like? What does the Quran tell us about Jannah? Most people will say, you know, you've got the flowing rivers, you've got the excellent climate, you've got, and that is all true. But did you know that the most repeated image of paradise in the Quran is actually an emotional one? In more than 10 places in the Quran, Allah promises us, if you make it to paradise, then what happens? لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. When people make it to paradise, they shall not experience any fear or anxiety, and they shall not experience any grief or depression or sadness. Now this is crucial. Allah said, you make it to paradise. Once you are there, the very first promise, the very first thing that you are going to notice is, I've got no fear and no anxiety, and I have got absolutely no sadness or grief about my past. Now listen to this. The most diagnosed disorder in our world today are mood disorders. The most common are anxiety and depression. Now listen to this. Depression usually has to do with sadness about what went wrong yesterday. Anxiety is usually worry about what can potentially go wrong tomorrow. So we either become prisoners of our memories, or we become captives of our imaginations. Because what is here today of tomorrow? What is here right now of tomorrow? Say something, people. You're probably wrong, but say it anyways. Okay. The only thing that we have from tomorrow, right now is imagination. That is the only thing that we have. The only thing that we have from yesterday is our memories.
So we become either prisoners of our memories or we become captives of our imaginations. We are too sad about what went wrong yesterday, and we are too worried about what can potentially go wrong tomorrow, and we miss out on living today. And many people live life on missing out on today. So the Quran tells us absolutely not the case in paradise. You truly get to enjoy the moment in paradise. So Allah said in more than 10 places, the most repeated description of paradise in the Quran is لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Before you start having any physical joy, you must be in an emotional state that makes that physical joy a possibility. Are you following? Now, not only this, but you listen to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in the dua? Allahumma inni ma asaba al-mu'mina min hammin wala hazanin wala nasabin wala wasabin. Said that any time anxiety, depression, weariness befalls upon a believer, ma asaba al-mu'min. Said that any time a believer experiences any of these things, be it in the form of anxiety or depression or weariness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for. Nobody ever said, hello, excuse me, how can you say a believer experiencing these things? Wallahi, it is possible. Now, listen to this. It is very possible that a believer can be very tender in their heart and very troubled in their mind. Is that a possibility? Somebody can be very tender in their heart, yet very troubled in their mind. I'll give you an example. January 1st, what was the biggest news around the world? What are people excited about? In Atlanta, Georgia, where I am living right now, the biggest news was not New Year. It was a young 17-year-old kid, African-American, who's just being recruited by Georgia Tech. And he was going to start playing in their football team. And he was given a full scholarship. And he's only 17. And everybody is anticipating the coming of Gaudi. January 1st, 17-year-old kid committed suicide. Wallahi, that was so... It's like, why? Why? Only 17, and he had everything to look forward to. That's like a dream come true. You've been drafted, you made it, the school has given you full scholarship, but yet, the kid, and I call him a kid, 17 years old, said he committed suicide. Tell you more about the story later on. But please keep in mind, a believer can be very tender in their heart, yet very troubled in their mind. But see, if you are a good Muslim, if you are a practicing Muslim, you should not be having any mental health related issues. And I tell you again, wallahi, that is a lie. Listen to this. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ya'qub alayhi salam, Jacob. This is known in the Bible. And it said that Jacob, when Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph his son, went missing, Ya'qub alayhi salam became blind. Jacob became blind. And the question is, why did he become blind? Not why we think he became blind. What does the Quran tell us about why did the man go blind? A prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. He said that Ya'qub went blind because of grief. Grief. من هنا يعني إيش؟ من يعني سبب. ماما ليش ضربتيني؟ من عمايلك السوداء يا حمار. صحيح؟ من عمايلك السوداء؟ يعني بسبب عمايلك السوداء. Okay. So Allah tells us that he went blind because of grief. Well, that does not make sense. Because see, remember this. Sometimes we can be having an emotional problem that exhibits itself in a physical form. In other words, you can be very afraid, but your body is shaking. Fear is an emotion. The shaking is a physical response. You can hear something and say, I was so excited I was having goosebumps, for example. I was so afraid that I can feel, you know, the hair on the back of my neck, which I don't have any of, but I can feel it there. Okay? What happens is that it's an emotional feeling that exhibited itself in a physical form. Can somebody ever say, oh, Ya'qub did not have enough faith? Nobody can say that, man. It is just part of being human. So please remember, wallahi, a person can be a lovely Muslim, a practicing Muslim or Muslima, very tender in their heart, yet very troubled in their mind. Are you following, people? So please remember. You know, when people pass on these myths, and I call them lies, see, what we are really telling each other is to suffer in silence. So if I come to you and I say, you know what, wallahi, akhi, I've been so depressed lately. And you look at me and you say, well, Yasir, have you read Surah Yasin? You know, brother, wallahi, I was depressed before talking to you. Now that I'm talking to you, I am even more depressed. See, what you said sounds religious, but it's not religious. Are you following? What you said sounds religious, but it's not really religious. This is what we call blame the victim theology. Blame the victim theology. In other words, what happens is that if there is something happening with you, then it must somehow be your fault, which is again not the case. So there are no religious basis for not speaking about mental health. Nowhere are we ever told, because you are a practicing Muslim, you are inherently protected against having any mental health related issues. And I tell you this because we are a faith-based community. And sometimes we have a lecture on this whole point titled, When Bad Theology Leads to Bad Psychology. When bad theology leads to bad psychology. So, going back to this idea of what we want to discuss, inshallah, tonight. Being stressed. You know, the idea of being stressed. People speak about, man, I'm stressed about this and I'm stressed about that, and which is very factual. And stress really refers to any outside pressure. The way that we react emotionally, the way that we react behaviorally, the way that we react physically, to any perceived demand or threat. The result is that we become afraid and that we become anxious. And in the past, people would be studying the impact of germs, because we were so afraid of germs, and the impact of contagious diseases, because now this is what's killing people. And now what happens is that people are being studied, and they are linking the amount of stress that they're having to the kind of diseases that are actually developed as a result of this. So it's very common that people develop something that is referred to as stress ulcer. Now, ulcer is something that happens in the tummy, qurha. But yet some people say that there is really no physical explanation as to why you developed the ulcer. But can you tell us a little bit about your lifestyle and what's going on with you? And then people find out that people are very, very stressed. So stressed to the point that it is causing them to have things such as ulcer. And we're not here to say that stress is bad, because inshallah, chronic stress is bad. Not all stress is bad. And that is why you've got to love the way that the Quran approaches these issues. Please remember, there's something that I really like to repeat, is this idea of the Quran is a very brave book read by a lot of cowards. Quran is a very brave book that is read by a lot of cowards. And the Quran is not afraid of telling it like it is. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. It said that man was created, and inevitably, by the virtue of being a human being, you must have difficulties. You must have difficulties. So the very first step, the very first stage of wisdom is what we call acceptance. Acceptance. The question is, acceptance of what? You know, and again, I'm talking here to my, you know, faith-based community. You know, just the idea here is that, you know, in these communities, you know, our relationship with God is very important. So they have a very nice prayers, these serenity prayers. We say that you pray, and what do you say? You say, Ya Allah, give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, and give me the strength to change the things that I can change, and give me the wisdom to differentiate between the two. Because sometimes the tendency is that we accept the things that we can change, and we want to change the things that we must accept, and that is a recipe for disaster. So to begin with, the Quran says, accept the fact that لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. That part of life is that you are going to have some difficulties. I think it was Imam Shafi'i who said, طُبِعَتْ عَلَى كَدَرٍ وَأَنْتَ تُرِيدُهَا صَفْوًا مِنَ الْأَقْذَاءِ وَالْأَكْدَارِ وَمُكَلِّفُ الْأَيَّامِ ضِدَّ طِبَاعِهَا مُتَطَلِّبٌ فِي الْمَاءِ جَذْوَةَ نَارِ. هذا كلام جميل. طبعت على كدر الدنيا وأنت تريدها صفوا من الأقذاء والأكدار ومكلف الأيام ضد طباعها متطلب في الماء جذوة نار. When the tradition is, look man, you've got to accept these things, certain difficulties, you just have to accept. What would be a good example here? 91 freeway. It's just going to be busy. Usually what happens is that we become very, very frustrated. Is that going to make traffic move faster? So now the idea is that certain things are just going to be there. So what we learn is that we accept these things. What usually makes us stressed out? Situations that have strong demands, situations that are imminent, life transitions, ambiguity, desirability, controllability. Children, that's a big source of stress, man. Especially nowadays, wallahi subhanallah. You know, whoever has got like a child that is less than 3 years old, keep them that way. Keep them that way, man. Because what's happening is that the older they get, see, we're worried about them. We're all worried about our children. Wallahi, man, the stories that you hear about some of the courageous fathers and mothers in our community and the kind of things that they that they go through, and you just look at them, and subhanAllah, you know, one of the things that I love about counseling is that you get to meet some of the bravest people on planet Earth. Other people may know what is happening with them, but you get to meet some of the bravest people. Sister, how do you do it, man? Brother, how are you even living? Going through all of these things. Some of us, it may not be the children that is the source of stress. Some of us are in relationships that are not fulfilling. Marriages that are not very happy. And people just say, man, look, that is a source of my stress in life at this point. Some people may be financial problems, maybe financial troubles that they're going through. We've been told that the people on YouTube cannot hear us. Do we care? Just kidding. Sorry, all the people on YouTube. So what happens is, to some of us, you know, it's maybe the children, it may be our relationships, to some it may be financial issues, to others it may be their health concerns or their concerns of the health of a loved one. And these are real problems, man. These are real problems. And sometimes, also our youngsters, wallahi, they have their fair share of stress. You know what it means to be a high schooler nowadays? What it means to be a middle schooler nowadays? You know the amount of stress that we place on these kids? High schoolers, you look into their, you know, you've got the stress that's placed on them by their parents, by their teachers, by the media, by their friends, by the peers, by life. It's just that everybody just wants something. Everybody just constantly demanding something. And sometimes, you know, coming from a good place, again, we place so much impact and stress on these kids. And I remind parents, say, you know what, please do not underestimate the power of peers on our kids. And the example, you know, a good example would be, when do kids are most exposed, or when are kids most exposed to marijuana? It's in high school. It's actually in middle school. It's actually in middle school. Ages 9 to 11 are extremely stressful, or is it 11 to 13? Because no kid wants to stand out. Every kid wants to belong. And that's a lot of stress on these kids. Sometimes what ends up happening is, you know, we have got like two separate lives. There is the me at home, and then there is the me at school. And that's just a lot of stress on these kids. So again, we become stressed when we perceive a situation as dangerous, difficult, or painful, which is the case mostly with our concern, specifically, let's say, for our kids. When we perceive the situation as dangerous, painful, or difficult, and simultaneously we also believe that we do not have the resources to cope, that is going to be a recipe for stress. And we're not short of reasons to be stressed nowadays. It is just all around us, like we said. Relationship issues, familial issues, monetary issues, financial issues, you just name it. It seems like we are surrounded with these difficulties. Okay? So what happens is that when we perceive this stress, we react. Our body literally react, our cognition literally act, and our emotions, we also react. And what they found out, that people who are just constantly stressed or people who are just constantly anxious, you start feeling, because there are physical changes that takes place. You know, when you are anxious, the digestion in your body actually changes. The way that the blood flows in your body actually changes. Because now what happens is that blood is only supplied to the bigger muscles. Digestion slows down. And what happens is people say, I've got like chronic pain on my shoulders. I've got, you know, back problems. I've got these problems. And please, as I am talking, please, 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 I beg you. Please, I beg you. Please, do not psychoanalyze your family members. Please do not psychoanalyze your family members or your friends. So next time somebody says, I've got my shoulders hurt, say anxiety right there, written all over. This is just for our information as to how anxiety impacts us. Okay. And there is nothing wrong with being anxious. There is nothing wrong with being depressed or feeling stressed. So now what happens is we physically react to this new anxiety or to this situation. And then there is a mental strain that is placed on us, demanding urgency. That you've got to do something now at this point. And what we're hoping for is that we develop what we call resilience. Is resilience? Muruna. Okay. And when they speak of resilience, they're talking about the ability to recover and readjust. Understanding that, you know what, this really is stressful. It may take time, but it can be dealt with. And what we want to do is that we want to make sure that we know about some of the coping skills as to how we deal with this. Because remember, I'm just going to say this very quickly. When it comes to anxiety, especially for the young people here, one coping mechanism that is very popular amongst young people is people smoking marijuana. That has just been one of the most common coping mechanism with stress and anxiety amongst young people is they start smoking marijuana. And I said this so many times. Wallahi, 10 years ago, I would ask these young kids if they smoke or not. I stopped doing this about 7-8 years ago. I don't ask that question anymore. I ask, when was the last time you smoked? And the most common answer that I get, but you know, when you ask these young boys and girls as to why they do it, it's like, there is just a lot of stress. There is a lot of anxiety. There is a lot of... And I tell people, I say, look man, it does help. Marijuana really does help with anxiety. It really does relieve you of stress. It really does make sleeping easier. And you've got joint problems, it actually also helps with your joint problems temporarily. And the key word here is temporarily. It helps for now. It will really relieve you of your anxiety for now. That's not where the problem is. See, when you smoke, anxiety goes away. But when it comes back, it comes back with more intensity, which requires now that you do what? You either up the dosage or the frequency. It will go again, but guess then what happens? it will come back, but it will come back with more intensity. Some people say, look man, why are we even talking about these things? You're just like opening these issues for us. Remember what I said earlier about the Quran? The Quran is a very brave book read by a lot of cowards. How is that? The Quran is not afraid of talking about this issue. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. They inquire of you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, regarding intoxicants and gambling. Let it be known that in them there is a great sin and there are also some benefits. But the sin in them outweighs the benefit in them. The Quran is not afraid of saying that. The Quran is not afraid of saying it has some benefits. So when your kids argue with you about the benefits of marijuana, please don't argue back. Because it really is true. And there are many studies to support this. The Quran supports this. They have benefits. Quran doesn't say that. Quran is clear. They have benefits. But then the Quran tells us what? The sin in them outweighs the benefit in them that they offer you. Remember, brave book read by a lot of cowards. And that's what we want to stop. See, when we bring up these issues, wallahi, we're being very Quranic. We are being very faithful. Because remember, ignoring a problem does not make it go away. And that is what we have been doing, ignoring that problem. Very quickly also, with young girls, most common way of dealing with their anxiety and their stress has been to engage in self-harm. They cut themselves. Young girls start cutting themselves. Does that help? Yes, it does. Some people will say, I'll be having all these conflicts raging inside of me, but the minute I get the razor and I cut myself, I feel so relieved. When I see the blood coming out, when I feel the razor going through my skin, it feels good. Remember, it does help temporarily. It really does help. It relieves people of their tension and stress and anxiety for a moment. Remember, then it comes back. But it comes back with more intensity. It comes back with more intensity. So, stress, not all of it is bad. Chronic stress can be very difficult. Coping mechanisms are extremely important. Poor coping mechanisms are a big, huge problem. And the way that most of us deal with our anxiety is we avoid them. But remember this, ignoring it, avoiding it, does not make it go away. It may make you feel better, it may make you feel safer, but it does not make it go away. And please remember, wallahi, ikhwan, these things are real. Speak to any father or mother who are concerned about their kids. I can't sleep at night. I cannot sleep at night. My kid is not home. We're just constantly bickering and fighting. I'm so afraid my kid is 17 and I'm afraid that by the time that he's 18, he might want to leave the family. I am concerned about the choices that they're making. I am concerned for their deen. I'm concerned for their schooling. I'm concerned for their future. I'm concerned for... And then that person says, I lose sleep at night when that happens. Can you blame this person? We can't blame this person, man. We do not want to be engaged in this idea of blame the victim theology. Story. Just to illustrate that we want to come from a place of understanding. Inshallah, and I will stop soon. We want to come from a place of understanding. Lovely story says, group of people were sitting together and they were just talking about how amazingly intelligent and wise Ali ibn Abi Talib is. And they're talking about how mesmerized they are by his wisdom. And somebody suggested, he said, why don't we formulate a question amongst ourselves and then ask Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib and see how he answers it. So somebody says, let's ask Ali ibn Abi Talib an aqwa ma khalaq Allah. He said, let's ask him about the strongest, the mightiest thing that Allah ever created. And as they're discussing it, they say, Ali ibn Abi Talib walks in. And they said, ya Ali, ma aqwa ma khalaq Allah. Ali, what is the strongest thing that Allah created? And they say that Ali ibn Abi Talib put his 10 fingers out. And he said, aqwa ma khalaq Allah ashara. He said, Allah created the mightiest 10 things. Tell us, Ali. So the jibal, the mountains, you see them there standing there, very, very strong. But then he said, technically, you can actually cut down the mountain by using metal. So metals must be strong. But you can melt down metal if you use fire, so fire must be strong. But you can put off fire if you use water, so water must be strong. But it is the clouds that carry the water, so the clouds must be strong. But it is the wind that directs the clouds, so the winds must be stronger. And then he said, the same wind that moves the cloud does not move man, so man must be stronger. But then he said, when man gets drunk, he can't really control himself. So he said, intoxicants must be stronger. And then he said, but if man goes to sleep, you put off the impact of intoxicants. He said, therefore sleep must be stronger. And then he said, وَلَكِنَّ الْهَمَّ يَغْلِبُ النَّوْمِ. He said, however, if somebody is truly anxious, they won't be able to go to sleep. فَأَقْوَى مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْهَمُ. He said, the strongest thing that Allah created is anxiety. And you ask people who are anxious about this, man, I'll be pacing my room, just going back and forth all night long. I cannot sleep. I can't even eat. I don't even concentrate at work anymore. I can't remember things. I am so busy and focused on this, I forgot about the rest of my kids or my other relationships because I am consumed with this. So the first thing that we need is, we need to be a supportive, caring, compassionate community. Well, ikhwana, this is important. Wallahi, people who come into the masjid, knowing that in the masjid, I will receive support. Support does not mean I am going to eliminate your problem. Sometimes support can come in the form of what? Nice word, man. Attentive ear. Comes in the form of a hug. I remember in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anhu, she said that, she said, you know, when she was accused of whatever it is that she was accused of, she said, دخلت علي امرأة من الأنصار والله لا أعرف اسمها. Said that I was in my room sitting there, and said that a woman of the residents of Medina came to me, said, by Allah, I don't know her name. والله ما قالت كلمة. Said, by Allah, she did not even utter a single word. جلست وجعلت تبكي عندي. All she did is she sat next to me and she just started crying along. And then what does Aisha say? والله لا أنساها لها. By Allah, I will never forget that woman. You're thinking here, he's saying, for doing what? What did she do? She just sat there and... See, that was her way of sitting next to Aisha and saying, girl, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm just going to cry along with you. Had a good cry, and then she left. Do not undermine this idea of support, ya ikhwan. See, we did not come here with the assumption, sometimes we want to be talking about mental health. You say, yeah, all the people who are going to go are people who have, you know, mental health problems. That is not true. That is not true. So as a community, we want to be a supportive community, where it would be safe for us to have these topics out in the open like this. Not violating our deen, not doing anything that is wrong. Say, man, we're just speaking reality. And what we want is, we want to come from a place of understanding. And that is a very, very Islamic thing to do. That is part of the resilience that we want to create, and that is part of the kind of things that we want to do, and that is the creation of a good support system. Very quickly also, attitude is very important. Wallahi, attitude is very important. And that is why part of the way that we respond to these things many times lies really in the attitude that we have. Give you a quick example. They say two prisoners looked out of the prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Meaning, it was at your disposal. You really had the ability. What do you want to see? Do you want to see mud, or do you want to see stars? And remember, both of them were looking through the prison bars. And many times, our perception is really important. Give you a quick example, inshallah, and we move on. In the hadith, they say that the Prophet ﷺ visited this Bedouin. Bedouin was not feeling well, and the Prophet ﷺ went there to console the man. And he said to the man, said, لا بأس عليك طهور إن شاء الله. Said, لا بأس عليك. May you feel or see no evil. طهور إن شاء الله. May what you're going through, may they be an expiation for your mistakes and faults. Then you know what you're going through. May Allah, you know, use them to put you in a better place. And what does the man say? What does he say? Nahi, Prophet of Allah. He didn't say Nahi, I'm saying Nahi. He said, La ya Rasulullah. He said, Oh no, Prophet of Allah. He said, What is it? He said, Bal hiya humma tafur fi shaykhin kabir lituridahu al-qubur. He said, This is nothing but a boiling fever in the body of an old man, and I know it will take me to the grave. Then the Prophet looked at him, and what did he say? He said, Even hiya kadhalik. If this is how you perceive it to be, then let it be. I was giving you a better option to see this, but you chose this route, then let it be. Then really let it be. Changing our attitude. Very quickly. We also, you know, in addition to that, you know, suggestions, things that people can do to reduce stress. One, there is wallahi power in walking. You know, say that people who walk fast, it's very difficult to actually be in that state of depression if you're walking fast. Or people who are engaged in exercise, for example. These are good habits to develop. Now remember, you exercising or you practicing walking fast may not really solve the problem that you have with the child, but at least it will make you stronger. It will put you in a better place to be able to face the issue that you're going through. But remember, as you are undermining your own health, undermining your own mental well-being, is not really solving the problem. It is not solving the problem. So what we want to do is that we want to make sure that we engage ourselves in activities and developing habits that can actually help us in reducing stress. And that is extremely important. Number four, it is okay to take some time for yourself. Have a me time. I'm going to make a confession here. Please do not hold it against me. I, wallahi, sincerely, from the very bottom of my heart, I really enjoy my company. I enjoy my company. I really do. Wallahi, I sometimes miss me so much, man. I just want to talk to me. Well, I'm not saying this to make you laugh, people. Wallahi, I truly enjoy my company. And I want that, you know, I just want some time for myself. By myself, with myself. Remember this. If you cannot enjoy your own company, do not expect other people to enjoy your company. If you cannot stand yourself, what makes you think that other people are going to stand you? Are you following? So you've got to have, you know what? Reassessing the relationship that we have with the self. Anybody here enjoys their company? Seriously, that is very, very important. You've got to have this idea of really a me time. Not because you're selfish, not because you don't care, but it is important that you recuperate and that you rejuvenate. And to some, you know, this idea of me time is very, very important, so please do not undermine this. Similar to that one is the idea of take good care of yourself. Take good care of yourself. Be it in your diet, be it whatever it is, you know, things that people do to just take care of themselves. And I'm sorry, I'm going through this here very quickly. Okay, spoke about the exercise, and then we also say, slow down, people. Slow down. You know, there is just so much that needs to be done, that we are constantly. Somebody made an observation, said, you know, in the past 10 years, most of the inventions that we have made have always been time-saving devices. In the past 10 years, that's what our focus has been. Time-saving devices. Had fast computers, and now what do we want? Faster. Anybody using 5G, by the way? Anybody? Two people? Astaghfirullah. Okay, so two people are using 5G. Again, why is that important? So what's the difference between 4G and 5G? I say, man, it's like day and night, man. It takes less than a second to download a movie. Instead of how long? Instead of 30 seconds? Okay, so this is going to be difficult for people to answer. Do you all remember dial-up connection? Remember dial-up connection? You remember how it took 2 days to download a picture? And then somebody calls you in the middle? And it ruined everything, which meant you have to start all over again. They said that in the past 10 years, what we've been doing is creating a lot of time-saving devices. And the question that we have is this: where is the time that we saved? See, we really did not save time, we just rushed ourselves. We did not save time, we just rushed ourselves. And I thought this was crazy, but Allah, I remember I was sitting with our youth group, and I said, guys, I said, can you tell me the kind of things that you hate waiting for? What do you hate waiting for? Now, this is our youth group. This is what they said. They said, you know, when you call somebody and the phone just keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and they don't pick up. And then, you know, they're answering, not machine, but the answering service comes up, okay? And then, because you don't like to wait another 10 seconds, you press 7, thinking that what? It will take you just, you know, to the beep so that you can leave your message. And then it says, 7 is not a valid answer. And then they start all over again, say, oh my God, I can't believe this. So they said that. And then they're studying this idea of We just don't like waiting anymore. And they found out that a lot of it has to do with fast food. I just think about it, they said. We usually said that, you know what, the idea of cooking a meal, cooking meat and cooking this, that is stuff that took time in the past. But now it's that you order the food and immediately expect what? Ready, khalas, yalla, you know. So he said, you know what, it's okay. Slow down. It's okay to have stuff in your inbox. It's okay that there are messages on WhatsApp that you don't have the time to check right now. It's okay that, you know what, some of your messages are not heard. Because what happens is that we're just constantly rushing ourselves. And people, that's not healthy. So, slow down. Slow down, because that will be good for us. Finally, laugh. Use humor. Not because you don't feel pain. Not because you don't have problems. But laugh, because that is actually one way of dealing with life's difficulties. You know, it would be so difficult. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to people and say, today is the day of Eid. Said, don't. Today is not the day to talk about problems. So what is the Prophet says? Innaha ayyamu aklin wa shurbin. So these are days to be festival. These are days where people eat, where people drink, and then said, wa dhikrun lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And making a mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shafi'i puts it nicely, and what does he say? He said, laysa min al-wara'i az-zuhdu fil bustan. He said it is not part of asceticism. It is not a reflection of a religious individual that they be serious and reserved while in the park. I hate it when people would be at the park and say, Sheikh, can you please give us a khatira? No, man. You don't give a khatira in the park, man. You play at the park. You chase each other at the park. If I give you a khatira, it will be about death. How is that? So you don't do that. He said, when that is the case, then that is what you enjoy. Then that is what you rejoice. And remember, these things may not really make our problem go away, but it will put us in a better position to be able to deal with our issues and problems. But remember, the talk here is really not about saying that, well, this is how you eliminate stress, but this is how, you know, we manage stress. It begins by accepting the fact that our lives, by virtue of being living, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We will always have these issues. And please, if you are stressed, if you're depressed, if you are anxious, that does not equal that you are a bad Muslim or that you are a weak person. Somebody said, but wait a minute, the Quran clearly says, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whosoever does good, male or female, while believing, Allah promises they're going to give them a good life. You know, you look into all the tafsir, the interpretation, nobody ever suggested that a good life equals a trouble-free life. Nobody suggested that. Said, الرزق الحلال. Said, your sustenance are going to be lawful, so that you sleep better. Other people have suggested al-qana'a, it is going to be contentment. Other people suggested, actually, that is in the life to come and not in this worldly life, and so on. And then, khalas, I stop here. Please remember this. Please remember the idea of being supportive and not undermining what we say to people in their times of difficulties. We want our masajid, our institutions, to be friendly to people who have life challenges. We want to suspend judgment. We want to make sure that our doors are open. knowing that, man, people just come with all different issues in their lives. We want to be relevant. I tell you the last confession and I stop, inshallah. Remember one time I was giving a lecture. That's like me in second year of the university. You know, second year university, believe me, you think that you are the most knowledgeable individual. Seriously. If you think I am full of myself now, you should have seen me, you know, when I was in second year university. So I came from Virginia and I was really excited. And I gave this awesome lecture. It was really awesome. And it was about why do jurists disagree with each other? And I'm flexing my muscles, you know, the Hanbali say this, but the Din Shafi'i, the Hanafis, and I was just going all over the place playing gymnastics with all the language and what have you. And I nailed it, man. It was a good lecture, mashallah. So people are walking out of the masjid and two people are talking and they don't know that I was behind them. So one guy leaned over to the other guy and said, who was the fool giving the lecture today? I almost punched him. He said, who was the fool giving the lecture today? And the man said, why, what's wrong? Wallahi, this is what the brother said. He said, you know, that today I found out that my son is doing drugs. And I came to the mosque thinking that I am going to hear something that will somehow benefit me. But this fool, that'll be me, said, but this fool, he said, he spent half an hour explaining to us hatta. 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 Then that's ايش اسمه بالعربي هذا ايش بيسموه الحروف هذه ولا like a language issue. It's like, what does until mean? Hatta, hatta. Hatta بالعربي. Hatta. MashaAllah. Hey, فرحنا. Okay. Hatta. And said, people were so disappointed. And then said, you know what? I really was a fool that night. I really was a fool that night. But see, sometimes we come in and we think that these are really the most important things. And it turns out that they may be important to me, but they are so irrelevant to the people who are going through these challenges. Please do not be afraid of saying, why are we not talking about this? How come we not bring this up? Why is it that we do not hear khutbas on this topic and that topic? And you know, and that's what you love about a place like this. You know, people are speaking about politics, they would be speaking about social issues, they'd be speaking about these things, and that is part of our deen. Please learn to relax. So part of slowing down, having the me time, getting into regular exercise and developing better habits also, inshallah, eventually, is that we learn how to relax. So inshallah, please make sure that you pass on the survey, as inshallah we take comments or questions as we do this. The 17-year-old kid. Remember the story? Okay. So do me a favor, can you please pass on the surveys before I tell them the rest of the story? You all have the surveys that you had? Please make sure that you fill them up. Remember when you fill out these surveys, they really do tell us. So the point is not to praise. The point is we want you to say, look, this could have been better, you know, this was really not worth it, and so on. So when you answer these questions, it really does help us it helps us in improving these things. So the 17-year-old kid, his mom tells the story. They were homeless. They were homeless, and they say that he was really, really worried about how his mom and younger brother, how are they going to make it. And then they reported that he was speaking very fast, she said. And he alluded to, he was hearing voices. And he was seeing things. And then he went. And his choice was to throw himself in front of the train, the moving train. Which, if I remember correctly, in that particular place, 6 different students chose the same method. We don't want to, I don't know much more about this kid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give his mom and his family lots and lots of patience, Ya Rabbal Alameen. See, sometimes we need to learn and we need to be attuned to where everybody else is. This is part of what we call emotional togetherness. And that is being attuned to the emotions of people around us. You know, my kids and the husband and the wife, we want to be attuned to that. That we're able to observe the changes and that we make the people around us feel safe enough that we, when we ask them about these changes, they would actually tell us what is going on or what is happening. And that is important, people. Wallahi, that is important. Checking on each other and learning about these symptoms. Make a point of it. Somebody says, you know, my son, my daughter, they were very playful, but for the past week, they have been very isolated. Ask what's going on. Or they used to enjoy the company of their friends and now all they do is that they just sit in their room and do nothing. They used to be so excited about this and this, and we're not talking about developmental phases, but all of a sudden, you know what? They're not really themselves. Please ask what is going on. Do not interrogate the person, but rather create a safe place where people actually feel safe enough to tell you what is really wrong. And I think these things are very crucial. So in the Jum'ah today, I made the announcement, there is a refugee who is in need of a car. Please, if you happen to have that extra car. A person says, I really do have an extra car, but I really, really want to get paid for it. Maybe you can make payment plan with them. They say, look, I have that extra car, but I will work with them so that they pay me $50, $100 a month. But you know, these are people who have skills, they are capable of getting a job, but they cannot get around. Somebody can say, look, I don't have a car, but I like to donate towards a car. So that collectively, remember, when we make somebody else's life easy, Allah makes our own lives easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our pain, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if anybody is going through difficulties or stress or anxiety, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their pain, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May we all sleep better tonight and tomorrow and the day after, Ya Rabbil Alameen. You know, they say that this person at night, he said, when I go to bed, he said, I take all my worries and anxiety and I cast it upon God. Because I know he's going to be up all night long anyways. That's really beautiful. Said, I take all my anxieties and my worries and I cast it upon God because I know that he's going to be up all night long anyways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our understanding, Ya Rabbil Alameen.
And once again, Jazakum Allah Khair here for guarding Grove Masjid, and Jazakum Allah Khair for being here, and Jazakum Allah Khair for access.
As Sheikh Yasser mentioned, thank you very much for being here. I hope you increase your knowledge. Please raise your hand if you did. Wow, mashallah. So inshallah, we're going to start doing this around the area with different masajid and bring a great topic, so it will make our community great. So please support Access, and I need and fill out the survey, because we are doing a study and we want to know, as you know, the survey does not have a name. So we just would like to learn what's going on with our community. If you did not fill out the survey, please make sure to fill it out. And please support Access. We are having our fundraiser February 8th at the Anaheim Hilton Hotel. And our keynote speaker is Brother Hussam Ailush. Inshallah, it's going to be a successful event. But I want to take a question from all of you. Do you think we should get back Sheikh Yasser back to Orange County? Please, see? So we're talking. Please make a dua. Okay, make a dua. The conversation is starting. Okay? It's starting. So inshallah, we will bring him back soon to Access California services. What? Yes. The refreshment is outside. Please return your survey so we can be able to get and maybe we can present it in different events to tell you what we learned of today. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Islamic Society of Orange County, for hosting us. And thank you, Sheikh Yasser, for being here and accept our invitation to educate our community. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, staff and volunteers, for helping put this great event together. Without the staff and volunteers, we could not do what we're doing.